Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I welcome you to this broadcast for September 26, 2020. We're going to be looking at what it means to be threatened. I get such an interesting mesh of emails from people who listen to the program. Some who really get the program and some obviously who can't, and that's okay too. But the whole idea of the program is to give to you, to disseminate to those of you who maybe are seeking to live your life from a different perspective, the opportunity to do so. And it seems that a lot of people just simply do not get where they are in this world, how they're living in this world, what this world means, the whole thing. So I'm going to try in my own way to help you understand the significance of the times we are in. And people who maybe have an open mind might be able to incite this a little bit. We are feeling threatened. A lot of people are feeling very threatened. And the test of what's going on is the values and the concepts that most people have come to believe, their relationship with their genetic nature, with their DNA, with that raw kind of inner primitive human being that lives within us that's about fight or flight. There's so many aspects of us that we're discovering, none of which are very good, none of which are going to help many people because we're not interested in helping. We're interested in getting what we want, when we want, and as we want. So let's get into the questions, and hopefully this will be something that will help you. The first question comes from Randy in Colorado. He says, I feel disappointed and threatened about the world. I don't know what to do. Do you have any suggestions, Randy? Gandhi said it best, Randy. You and I must be the change we wish to see in this world. There is no doubt about that in my mind. I have to change. But the problem is that most people are convinced that they're okay. They're totally convinced that whatever it is they're doing, whatever it is that they're experiencing it as the total reality of life. If they experience people of color with prejudice and bias, they think that is just perfectly fine. They never question it. They never look at it. They never, what is going on inside me? They never do any education. And even if they did an education, let's say, went into it a little bit, found out some knowledge about genetics and DNA and heritage and all of that, even if they did, what would they do about it? Their emotions are already set. Their pre-conditioned mind is already in bias mode. What are they going to do? Not a darn thing. The average person is not going to try to resist what is going on within them. They don't want to see it. They don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to deal with it. They just want to live with it quietly. And some people like to live with it openly. And it seems that our human bodies and the dictates of our emotional nature, which is based in both DNA and genetics, seems to be of utmost importance to us and is the litmus test for everything. And the way we live in all of this is the way our world goes. So what are we to do? It takes a very unique human being. And I don't know who you are, Randy. I don't know if you're going to be what I'm going to talk about here. It takes a very unique human being to see the way we are within ourselves. Krishnamurti said that the highest form of intelligence is when a person can do self-observation. And I agree with him. Self-observation is the ability to see exactly what's going on within us, how we are living within us, and what that means. To see my mind, my body, the bias, the prejudice of it all, to see it all doing whatever it's going to be doing, and to see its tendencies and instincts is a very intelligent thing to do. How few of us do it, how few of us care to do it, how few of us understand the nature of it. We just don't get it. What am I to say to you? What am I to say? The way the truth and the light of it all is that you and I have to begin to see how our prejudices do matter, how they manifest in us, and what they do to create whatever it is they create in our mind, which is a bias. This world is the culmination of our biases, our prejudices, what we call our knowledge or our intelligence. And I disagree with all of that. I don't think we have much intelligence. I think we're filled with bias. I think our knowledge is very limited, generally speaking, to the American public. Even science will tell you, as I read more and more about it, that they know very little about why human beings do what they do. They do understand the prejudice, the chemicals in the brain, and how the brain is fooled by these chemicals that make the mind bias and create thoughts of bias. It's all in the book, and if you haven't read it, you should, Behave by Robert Sapolsky. And it is a tremendous book, just tremendous. You need to read it. You need to read, Randy, you need to read Sapiens and Homo Deus. You need to read books that awaken the truth of you, that help you see the way, the truth, and the light in you, to help you understand what your biology is doing and what it is capable of doing if left to run amok. When we incarnate into these bodies, we take on a huge responsibility. We not only take on the heritage of the bodies themselves and their genetic nature, but we also take on the abilities or the lack thereof to bring about kindness in this world, peace in this world. And actually, very few people have the ilk of love. They only see love in the selfish vein of how they can get loved or become loved. People are interested in becoming loved, but they are not interested in love itself, in the qualities that make up and sustain the consciousness of love. They're just not interested in that. And for that, we do suffer greatly because we miss the meaning of our life and the significance of our living. It takes a great deal of, emotional maturity. And what is emotional maturity? It is me not responding to my emotions all the time and recognizing what emotions are doing, generally speaking. When they are pushing me towards hate and fear and self-preservation, and when they are maybe looking for some kind of affection and adoration to coddle them in a way that makes them appear to be more important than what they should be, I have to see all of these things. This is a part of the responsibility of being conscious or gaining consciousness. I hear all these people talk about, you have to be positive and you have to think positive. No. I know you all think that because it's the easy way out and it's what most people can handle. But the truth of the matter is I have to see the quality of my emotionality. I have to see how selfish it is. I have to begin to see how it is only looking after itself. It is not looking after love, kindness. It is not seeking to generate consciousness. No. We want to survive. And here is the danger point, Randy, and I hope I can get this over to you here on the radio. I hope so. when one of our genetic thoughts, our genetic beliefs, our genetic concepts about being loved or being smart or being factual, it doesn't matter what it is. When any of our thoughts start to become the absolute in us, when I can take a thought that is ugly and assume that it is right, a racial thought, a political thought, a religious thought, and I make it seem to be reality through my convictions and my beliefs, I have undermined my entire life. Everybody has convictions and beliefs about different things. People have convictions and beliefs about what God is, what truth is, what right is, what wrong is. Everybody has convictions and beliefs about these matters. That doesn't make them true. And just because your conviction may match another person and another person, or even be the majority of people, doesn't make them right. Hate is rampant in this world. I think we can all agree on that. And the way we live in hate and the way it transpires through the news, through politics, even through religion, doesn't make it right. It may make it seem like a reality in this world, which I wouldn't argue with, but it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it anything, but this is the way it is. So you're disappointed, eh? And you feel threatened about the world. You're disappointed in the world. Well, look no further than what the mirror can show you. You've got to examine your own self. This idea that there's some leader or savior that is going to take you out of all of this is ridiculous. And nobody in the religious world ever looks at God and thinks, well, he created this mess. What kind of idiot is he? And then, oh boy, I'll get mail on that one. And then change, maybe find that what Jesus meant when he said God is love. Maybe it's not the love that you think love is. Maybe our whole quest in this lifetime is to find what Jesus meant. God is love. Maybe that is really what it's all about and not all this other stuff. You can be disappointed, Randy. You're only being disappointed that your genetic nature, your heritage isn't up to the task, that it is conformed to the pedestrian mentality that says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You may not like the gore and the blood and all the other stuff that is going on in this world, the lies, the whole thing. Politicians, all of them, not just Trump, all of them lie. And when you start really understanding all of that, you can see that the only thing that you can do is transcend. Spiritually awaken and transcend. Thank you, Randy, for your question. I hope some of it sunk in, and please forgive me. Namaste. I want to read you something Jesus said in the Gnostic Gospels. It's very interesting. If you bring forth what is within, you will bring forth that which will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you will destroy you. If you can understand that, which is a very powerful statement, you can understand the awakening that needs to happen. If you can bring forth that which lives within you, that is love, if you can bring it forth, it will save you. It will bring great insight, compassion, and love into your life. It will transcend you. But if you don't, you will be left with the hate and the fear that lives within you currently. And as Jesus said, that's what destroys us. How little we can understand that. The next question comes from Ty, and Ty lives in Sacramento. How can you teach reality and help us? I need reassurance that what you are saying is true. Ty, I can't do that for you. You either hear the truth and it sets you free, or you don't hear the truth and it can't set you free because you've already come to the place where you think you know everything, and that's the end game. I can't do that for you. I wish I could. I really do. I can't reassure you. I can't give you proof, biblical, ecumenical. I can't do any of that. What I can give to you is I can share with you my own awakening. And I must say that when the opening line of the Gnostic Gospels, and when you search and you find, you will be troubled, as Jesus said, you will be troubled. And it is very, very painful to understand how wrong we have been for so long in this world. Century after century, actually after the first breath of any human being, that's when it all started. We're not of the ilk to awaken spiritually. We're just not. It's not something that the general public, the majority of people, have inside them to have a natural tendency to awaken spiritually, or even to consider spiritual awakening. They just can't do it. They won't do it even. Everybody wants their human will. They want that human will to be the ebb and flow of their life and their livingness. So they miss. So reassurance, disappointment, depression, which is what I get a lot of emails about. What can I say to you? You bring this on. Your indulgence, emotionally speaking, is what brings on all these things. Now, how can I tell you not to indulge yourself emotionally? No wine. You can't have that wine. Can't eat that meat. Can't watch that newscast. Can't take sides. Don't be judgmental. Put love ahead of hate. Better help, not hinder. Best to give, not receive. How can I do that? I'm sitting here in my little studio, and you want me to say magic words that are going to make all your boogeymen go away. That isn't going to happen. Nobody can do that. Jesus couldn't do that. Buddha couldn't do that. Why are you asking me? I can't do that. That's not what this is all about. This whole thing that we're talking about here is about initiating spiritual evolution within yourself for the sake and the cause of love. Not even escaping this world, of love. You must be, as Gandhi said, the change you wish to see in the world. Now, I can't make you do that. Nobody can make you do that. So what can make me do that, or you do that? Constant futility, over and over, living in the constant futility. The futility of every act and action that we make, becoming the pain, the sorrow, the discomfort of our life until we just can't stand it anymore. It's the old Henny Youngman joke. I know you probably don't even know who Henny Youngman was, and that's okay, but he was a comedian, and he would say, you know, funny things like, take my wife, please. He told the joke. I went to the doctor, and I told the doctor, Doc, it hurts when I do that. And the doctor said, don't do that. And that's just about all I can say. You want change in your life? Don't do the things that don't promote change. You want love in your life? Do the things that promote love in your life. You want beauty in your livingness? Be the beauty of your livingness. You have to decide what you're going to do with your life. I can't do that for you. No one can. Trump can't. Biden can't. Jesus can't. God can't. None of that. You have to align yourself with love in you. You have to find that place of love. And I know this is not a popular belief or a popular teaching or a popular insight. People don't like it. They want someone to do the work for them.
Maybe God will do it. Maybe if I act better, God will do it.
Like God is standing there in the clouds going, well, there's old Ty. He's being really kind right now. I think I'll give him maybe 10 or 15 bucks. We'll see what he does with that. That kind of stuff. And that's what people do. You miss. I say to you, live a life where you don't miss anymore. When you are done missing, life will become interesting. I wish you well, Ty. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. Am I being punished for my sins? This world seems so painful. Letty. Florida she lives in. Wow. That's nice. Letty. We're not being punished. We're being revealed. And there is this thing called karma, and it is non-judgmental. It is absolutely essential to understand. It culminates in how things can happen for me and cannot happen for me. It is not a punishment. It is a state of being. And you and I, by the state of how we live from within ourselves, define our karma, hence define how we live in this world. What is the word sin? But the missing of the mark, the finding that precious point of love within us where we live in compassion and forgiveness and are willing to go through whatever we have to go through for the sake of the revelation and the revealing of love within us. We're just not of that ilk. That's not what we do. What we do is we want to look at ourselves as blameless and get everything we want and think that we deserve a hall pass because we're who we think we are. And none of that is true. That's not the way it works. I can tell you from years and years and years of toiling in the futility of ego, vanity, pride, and anger, that just doesn't work. So, what to do? You're going to have to transcend. You're not being punished. Start doing the opposite of what you're doing now. You have to start thinking in terms of how do I create compassion and love through the forgiveness and the tenderness of a mercy that allows both me and other people to be what they are without condemnation and without personal hatred. Now, when I take the position of for and against, right and wrong, good and bad, when I do these things, I tempt my own karma, the fates of my karma, to bring me whatever it is I need to help me understand how ignorant I have been. So you're going to have to look at things from a different point of view. Don't think you're a victim of this world. You're a victim of your own mind, your own emotions. You're a victim of your hardness of heart. And until you understand that and can realize that, everything is going to look like it's against you, but really it's not. It's you and me against ourselves, which causes all the problems. I'm out of here. Thank you for your beautiful question, Letty, and please forgive me. Namaste. Well, got more tomorrow. Boy, do I ever have more tomorrow, and I hope you'll join me. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me. Namaste.